The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. And brothers and sisters, did you know that prophecy is still for today? Miracles, signs, and wonders, they are still for today. And the truth is that it is God's intention that the prophetic and apostolic are going to take a center stage in this season. But the truth is that the prophetic gift and the office of a prophet are really the most misunderstood, but also the most misused and abused of the spiritual gifts. And the reason why is because many that call themselves prophets wield prophecy in such a way that benefits themselves rather than serves the Lord. And maybe you've witnessed this yourself, where, you know, somebody that calls himself a prophet or an apostle, suddenly everything is more about them and their ministry and what they're doing and how awesome and wonderful they are than rather how awesome God is or pointing the way to Christ. This is actually a sign that if the focus and attention is not being directed back to God, this should be a sign to you that there's not something quite right there. This is the reason why there have been a lot of shakings and replacements and demotions, even among well-known ministers in the body of Christ. For example, there's this one man who called himself a prophet, who went around for years ministering to people, prophesying to people. And he was on all of the major Christian networks, even on major news networks, being invited out to all the conferences. And he was known for giving words of knowledge and prophecy and all of these things. And it comes out later that what he was actually doing was he was going through social media, looking up information about all the attendees, and then from the stage, from the podium, reading that back to people and pretending that it was a word of knowledge from God. And why would he do something like this? Because he benefits from it. Now his ministry gets established. Now he gets invited to all of these talk shows and podcasts, conferences. He can sell books, all of these things. But he was not speaking as a representative of God. He was speaking whatever it is that he felt like and putting God's name on it. And so God had to expose this person. Because so long as we, the church, tolerate people misusing and abusing the name of God to benefit themselves, God cannot bring his great move of God. He cannot bring the great revival that he wants to bring. Because you think that God would be glorified, that leaders in his great revival are people that are actually liars, self-serving, abusing people, taking advantage of people? No. In fact, that would do far more damage than good, because what would happen? The world would see that and say, well, God obviously is not just and holy. God obviously is not righteous. So it would do far more damage than good. So God has to actually judge his church before he can bring revival here to America. So we all, as the body of Christ, have to count ourselves as holy. And I really need to emphasize this to you because we've been speaking here at Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God International for years how it is God's intention to bring the body of Christ to a place of influence and affluence, that there's going to be a transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence from the world to the body of Christ, that no longer it would be the world running all the major institutions, of society, all the pillars of society, everything there, that it's just the world running it the world's way, but rather it would be the body of Christ in positions of authority. Okay? And the reason why God wants this is because then the world will look at you, they'll see you in your success, and they will realize that you live and walk a righteous and holy and blameless life. And that God has blessed you because you've proven yourself trustworthy in that arena. And in seeing that, they too will choose to pursue God, right? But as we are now, where there is currently still corruption in the body of Christ, there's politics. I don't know if you guys have ever witnessed church politics. Sometimes it's just as bad as the politics in Washington, right? There's backstabbing, there's scheming, there's plotting for power. So if that exists in our church, why would we expect the world to be any better? So God has to burn all of those impurities off of his church before that great move of God can come. So let me tell you a story. In high school, there was this young girl who was in the same social circles that I was in. And I wasn't particularly close to this person, but again, we had similar friend groups, so we knew of each other. And she decided after high school that she really wanted to pursue God and what God had for her. And so she decided to attend a school run by one of these large, well-known Christian organizations that was dedicated to training up leaders in ministry and worship, pastors, ministers, these kinds of things. She was going to go to a school dedicated for those that want to preach the gospel and walk with the Lord in ministry. And so she leaves, I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to do this thing, okay? And she's spending several years there. And this, again, this is from a well-known ministry. Now, this ministry had, you know, many conferences. They invited all these different kinds of pastors, evangelists, and things to speak, okay? And at one of these conferences, this man that I mentioned earlier, this so-called prophet, attended this conference. And during the conference, he called out to the crowd a young man that this girl I knew was dating. And basically from the podium, the prophet basically said that God was giving her to him, this man that she was dating, that they were going to get married, and that was for a greater purpose and all of these things. This was a person that at the time, she had only been dating a couple months. But now in this conference, this so-called prophet called her out by name, called her boyfriend out by name, and said that they were supposed to get married. So now she's thinking, well, I have to obey God. I have to obey what God told me to do. So they get married. And her husband, over several years, became both physically and emotionally abusive towards her. But when he would abuse her, she would want to run away. But then there was this thought in her head, am I disobeying God? What's going to happen to me? Because the prophet said that I was supposed to marry this man. So she stayed with him year after year until finally it was too much. And she finally fled that relationship after suffering for years and years, the whole time thinking, why did God let this happen to me? How could I have received this prophetic word and now I am suffering in this way? And now it comes out that this so-called prophet was not from God at all. He would look people's information up on social media and make things up on the fly. Why? Because it propelled his supernatural ministry. But what we as Christians have to understand is that when you are called to leadership, you are dealing with other people's lives. You think God was pleased looking down on that situation, seeing his daughter suffer because somebody who claimed to be from God said these things in his name? No, it was not pleasing to God. And how many other people did this man do the same thing to? It puts into question everything that he would have said from the podium. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, as I said before, the prophetic and apostolic is going to come to the center stage, but not this false prophecy, not people that prophesy by their own spirit, or maybe they do it by their own will and they put the name of God on it. No, the real prophetic gift is going to come forward. But what we have to understand, and those of us, for example, that run in more charismatic circles, we have to understand that the name of God has to be treated as holy. So we can't just going around saying, well, God told me this. Oh, never mind. I got that wrong. I didn't hear right. God told me this. Right. Or maybe if you've ever had an argument with somebody, they said, well, God said to do this. And that ends the argument real quick. But did God actually say to do that? Right. And if you find yourself where one week, oh, God said this, then the next week, nope, God said this other thing, and you're going back and forth, you're not hearing from God. You're not. God gives clear direction. When the Lord spoke to Noah, he said, you're going to build an ark. These are what the materials you're going to use are. Here's what the dimensions of the ark are going to be. This is what you're going to use to cover it. The tar you're going to use to cover the ark. It was very precise, right? When David went to go up against the Philistines, he asked the Lord, Lord, shall I go up and fight them? And he says, yes, you will go up and fight them, but don't meet them directly. You're going to go around this way and come out by the poplar trees. See, God gave specific, precise instructions, not vagaries, not generalities. He is able to give precise instructions because he knows all and he is all powerful. So we have to understand claiming, thus saith the Lord, is a holy thing. We cannot play with that. If we're saying that this is what the Lord said, then God really should have said it. And we should be sure that the Lord said it. Because when we speak with the kind of authority, thus saith the Lord, and people believe, if they really truly believe to obey and follow God, they'll do anything to obey the Lord, right? If God said, go here, go there, right? If you really have faith in God, well, you'll sell your possessions, right? You'll move. You'll change your relationships. You'll change everything, your whole life, because you want to follow God. And if we have leaders that are playing with the anointing and putting God's name on it, that is such a distressing and honestly wicked thing. Because in the world, if somebody is being self-serving, they're not trying to put God's name on it, right? They might try to sell you a thing, but they're not going to sell you a thing and then say those that buy this thing will be blessed by God. Which one is more wicked in this scenario? And yet, how many conferences where you attend, the prophet or the apostle gets up on stage and says, those who purchase my book, or those who give an offering of $1,000 or more, I personally will pray for them or lay hands on them. Is this not just a marketing or sales campaign? And so we're prostituting the anointing of God? So this monetizing of the anointing has to go away. This applying God's name to things that he never said needs to go away. We have to treat the anointing of God and the name of God as holy. And in the Ten Commandments, one of them is, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And a lot of times we apply that just to cursing, right? But it's not just cursing. Anytime you invoke the name of God and God has no part in it, right? It's, oh, well, I really want this thing. The Lord says, do this thing, but it's really what you want. You are taking the Lord's name in vain. God told me to do this. Oh, never mind. God told me to do this. Oh, I got that wrong. Right? It's empty. It's fruitless. And it is not pleasing to the Lord. Now, those of you that are hearing the sound of my voice now, the reason why you're hearing this is because truth is that God has called you to be a general in his kingdom, to a position of leadership and affluence. And that is a blessed thing. Okay? It means that the impact you will be able to have is far more reaching than you currently have right now. Just imagine one of you is the CEO of one of these tech giants, like the Googles, the Amazons, the Facebook, is now the CEO of one of those companies. Imagine the impact for good you can have and what impact that will have across the generations. That's just one person. And every single one right now of those core businesses, of those core institutions, they are not being run by Christians. Right now, we are living in the influence of the world, and God wants to give it to the body of Christ. But I have to tell you this now, because when you are in that position, you have to ask yourself, am I going to treat the Lord as holy? Am I going to do what is right? Or am I going to do what is right in my own eyes? Because brothers and sisters, just a little bit of yeast will infect all of the dough. Many of you are familiar with the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 through 8. Israel was oppressed at the time. The Midianites had hundreds of thousands of soldiers, and they would just come in, plunder everything, completely steal all the food, ransack the villages, everything. So Israel cries out to the Lord, and God raises up Gideon. And supernaturally, through Gideon and these 300 men that the Lord picks, the Midianite army is completely defeated. It's like, forget the 300 Spartans, you got Gideon's 300 men. Because the Spartans, even though they were great warriors, every single one of them died. I don't know if you know this, they all died. Gideon suffered zero casualties. But it was this supernatural thing. So Israel's really excited about this. And they come up to Gideon in Judges chapter 8, verse 22, and they say, Gideon, you need to rule over us. You're going to be our king, and then your son's going to be our king, and then your grandson's going to be our king, because you saved us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon tells them this. He says in verse 23, I will not rule over you, nor my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you, right? This is all great. I'm not going to be your king. God's going to be your king. But then he says this, but I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder. And they answered, we'll gladly give them to you. So they spread out a garment, and each of them threw a ring from his plunder onto it. The weight of the gold rings he asked for came to 1,700 shekels, not counting the ornaments, the pendants, and the other purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains that were on their camels' necks. Now Gideon took this gold and made it into an ephod, which he placed in Ophrah, his town. And all of Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. Just a little bit of yeast infects all the dough. So here, Gideon, oh no, I'm not going to be your king, but you know what? I really kind of want to build a monument to remind everyone of what I did, because it's kind of a big deal. So he builds this monument in remembrance of what he did out of gold. And it becomes an idol for all of Israel. This is why God has to purify his church now. So if you are unsettled by maybe what's happening in some of these bigger ministries where some well-known ministers are being exposed, some well-known ministries are kind of falling apart, or there's shakings, there's kind of chaos out there. If you're distressed by this, understand this is God purifying his church. Because if even a little bit of this corruption and wickedness remains, it will completely contaminate the move of God that he wants to bring here on the earth, right? If God wants to bring a revival, he's got to purge the wickedness out of his body. It's got to happen. So instead of being distressed by it, instead embrace the changes. And don't focus too much on what's going on out there, right? If there's some big minister that falls, don't focus too much on it. Don't draw too much attention to it. Instead, look inward at your heart. Truthfully, those things need to be addressed, right? And if you're in bodies regarding that, you have to address those things. But I'm not looking to make a spectacle out of sin. I want everyone in the body of Christ to look inward at their heart. And you have to be honest with yourself. Imagine that the Lord uses you miraculously, that someone who had died, the Lord, his spirit comes upon you, and through you, that person is raised back to life in the presence of everyone. A resurrection happens. And say other kinds of healings happen through you. Now think of the kind of attention you would get in that scenario. Now suddenly, you've got a crowd of people chasing after you. Now suddenly, you're being invited on TBN. Maybe you're even being invited on Fox News or NBC. And they're talking about how anointed you are, how your relationship with God is so special and you're so anointed, and they're eating up every word and they'll do anything that you say. They'll serve your every whim. They'll give you all kinds of money. All you need to do is just fall in line with this thing. And every time you say a word, people look at you with eyes open as if it's coming straight from God. Can you be trusted in a scenario like that? Will you take advantage of people, even just a little bit? And many of you might say, no, I could never do that. But have you been in that kind of situation? Have you faced that kind of temptation? Don't think for a minute that you are beyond sin like this. Because the truth is, the vast majority of you have never even had the opportunity. And a lot of times it's because for the majority of you, God knows you couldn't handle that kind of temptation. So we have to look inwardly at our hearts now. We have to be honest that we will prepare our hearts to remain humble before the Lord, that we will treat him as holy. And that if God does elevate us, we will not draw attention to ourselves. Instead, we will point it back to Christ, right? Every time the spotlight's put on you, you're going to be able to redirect it to Christ. And that's what God's goal is, by lifting up and elevating people in the body of Christ to positions of influence and affluence. That is what his goal is in this great move of God. And I'm going to close with this. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 and 10, "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.' At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But the angel said to me this, 'Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus.'" Look at what's happening here, right? The angel delivers this great word, and I guarantee you the angel's imposing. He's shining with light. So John tries to bow down and worship him, but the angel says, "No, don't give me any glory," right? "It's not me. Do not worship me. Worship God." And this is what we need to be able to do, where if the spotlight is on you and people even try to worship you or make an idol out of you, you will instead direct them, say, "No, do not worship me. Do not elevate me. Instead, worship the Lord." And for those of you that are looking for, how do I know whether a prophecy is true or not? This is a good starting point. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the very spirit of prophecy, which means that the will of God and Christ Jesus himself are at the center of every prophetic word. It's not drawing attention to the prophet or his ministry. It's not drawing attention to an individual. It may involve an individual. It may involve a nation, but God's will ultimately is at the very foundation of that word. And so that's one thing you can do to examine prophecy is like, well, who's at the center of this? Who gets the glory in this? Who gets the attention in this? But you know, brothers and sisters, I am running out of time. So continue to examine your hearts. Many of you now, God is preparing for influence to manage resources and even have authority over nations. He's preparing you now, but he is not going to put you in a position that you can't handle. So you have to prove yourself trustworthy and faithful where you are now. Maybe you feel like you hate your job. Maybe you feel like you're not satisfied where you're at. Until you are proven faithful where you are now, how can you be trusted with more? So, Father God, I thank you for the words that have been released today, God. Help us continue to treat you as holy, God. And we thank you, Lord, for the move of God that you are bringing here in America, God. We are so grateful that you have not given up on this nation. And God, we are going to take advantage of this opportunity and we will pursue you with everything that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.